Hey everyone, in this episode, I have a special guest, Stephanie Strange, who is a psychic medium and paranormal investigator who has amassed over 700,000 followers on TikTok and is a host of Something Scary and has been involved with the likes of BuzzFeed Unsolved, The Travel Channel, and Mystery Decoded. Stephanie also hosts a psychic development circle with her husband, Carl, in the Antelope Valley. Now, I had the pleasure of getting to know her over these last few months, prompted by a repost of one of my Instagram reels about the hauntings of Sand Canyon Road, which I'll talk about in another episode. So, Stephanie has been one of my most genuine friends in the horror community. And I had the pleasure of getting to meet her at the first ever Parapod Festival held in Santa Clarita, California, back in April this year. The Parapod Festival was an amazing experience where I got to sit in on the panels and presentations of paranormal experts like Stephanie Strange, of course, Heart Start Pounding, Jennifer Camati, Hollyweird Paranormal, LA Not So Confidential. I can go on and on. And Stephanie's enthusiasm about the paranormal world made me want to bring her on to talk about her experience that weekend at the Parapod Festival, where they got to tour Mintryville, and she did a late night tour, right in the dead of the night. So, as a quick backstory before I go into Stephanie's experience, just in case you didn't get to hear Season 8, Episode 2, featuring Evan Decker, Mintryville is essentially a ghost town in Santa Clarita, California, that holds historical significance as the state's first successful oil well. Its prosperity declined in the 1920s, leading to the departure of residents by the 1930s. So of course, yes, it became a ghost town, and the town has been reputed to be haunted, particularly by Charles Alexander Mintry, its founder, and witnesses claim to have seen Mintry's ghost wandering around his former estate, the Pico Cottage House, aka the Big House, and the surrounding area. Now, visitors would report strange noises, cold spots, and sightings of a ghostly figure in period attire. Now, near the old schoolhouse, a ghostly presence of a young girl in a white dress has been observed. And some visitors at the property would report the feeling of being watched or followed while exploring the site. Now, jumping back to Stephanie's experience, here is what she had to say about that day.
Yeah, so on Friday, the first kickoff for Parapod, they allowed a lot of people to go to Mintryville, and so there was a bunch of different groups. So they had the little school, the little schoolhouse, and then they had the main house, and then they had the barn, which I unfortunately didn't go to the barn, but they closed it by that point. I did like the very late, like showing. I think Patty Negri, right? It's her, I always mess up her name. I feel so
Patty,
bad.
Patty Negri? Is it Negri?
Negri? Sorry, Patty. but she was there. So she was at the main house, and she was, okay. She is such a sweetheart. So we went to the school. First, we stopped to the school house because I think, like, with even though we were in groups, we still started in like a rotation almost. And we were in the schoolyard or the schoolhouse, and it was me and my husband. We're both intuitive, we're both very sensitive. And I immediately, when we walked there, it felt like it was kind of hard to discern some things just because there's so many people in that small little like schoolyard. The house was cool though, because it has like two levels and there's different rooms in each one. There's also the kitchen, and then there's also like the porch. It's a lot bigger space. But in the schoolhouse, it was a very small space. And I remember one of the guys there, he brought like something that seems like an ovulus, and I don't know what it's called. I know I have one. It's called a polterscript. So when I went to Venturyville, it was kind of cool seeing how that setup was like, because there's a parking lot there. There's like these buildings there. It's really small. Literally, it just feels like you're walking up to a property rather than like an actual town. So I think that's where it is kind of like a little bit confusing, I'm not going to lie. But we started with the schoolyard. The schoolyard was really crowded, so I don't feel like I felt much. Like, yeah, I could feel like residual energy of like children there, of course. Like, I could feel like the livelihood of that. So for me, as an intuitive person, one of my things that I get when I sense spirits there is the tapping on my knee. So it's like little children touching my knee. I feel like that happens a lot. And there's another place not far from Mintryville. It's in New Hall, Santa Clarita, and it's Mystic Dylan's shop. And we've done the psychic circles there. We've done all kinds of stuff. But we've all concluded that there is a spirit of a child there. And same thing with the knee, the tapping. So anyway, so going back to the Mintryville, we went to the big house. And prior to that, we ran into two people. So one of them was a guest for one of the panels at Parapod, and his friend seemed very intuitive, very open. He was really cool. And he was telling us, like, yeah, you know, like, I don't like the man in the house, like, in that big house. So he was already kind of telling us what to expect a little bit. But, of course, like, I took that with a little bit of grain of salt because I still want to experience things. So when I went to the house, immediately, like, the lights flickered on me.
Interestingly, as discussed in my last episode, Season 8, Episode 2, in a period barn across from the Pico Cottage House, which is the big house that Stephanie is referring to, paranormal investigator Kimberly Demery sensed that she was entering a man's space, and he seemed to be trying to tell her that she, as a female, wasn't welcome there. This male spirit seems to have a very strong disliking to women, and with Stephanie's experience, she experienced a similar vibe in the main house itself. It's unclear whether this spirit may be Mentry himself, but whatever it is, he doesn't take a very big liking to women paranormal investigators.
We went to the main house and immediately, like, and I have like a snippet of that on my Instagram and TikTok, but basically, we walked in. I'm like, whoa, did the lights just flicker? And immediately, I felt like pain on my temple. And in the Poulter script, and this is again on my Instagram, there's the Poulter script said revolver and prop. And I don't know if it was trying to tell me something, whether there was like that they thought it was like a prop or that they were using a gun prop and then something bad happened. No idea. But that's what I felt, and my husband felt it too. Like, he felt very uncomfortable. And we went in the little pantry area, and I did not like the pantry area. And this will all come to play because I started talking to other people after this, so we'll get to that. But just want to highlight my first impression. So then we're walking around the house, and I see Patty. She's downstairs. She's talking to a couple people, and she actually calls a group of them into a room, and she has these dowsing rods. So she had these really cool, like, glow-in-the-dark dowsing rods, and she's, like, asking questions, and Carl had the Poulter script on, and we place it on the floor, and it's just, like, going off. Like, it's being very active.
And before we went on, I had to ask Stephanie, what is a Poulter script? I've never heard of this thing before.
Oh, I will say this. Like, I feel like Ghost Hunters they got to sponsor me because I keep telling so many people about this, and it's been on it's been on the CW, it's been on BuzzFeed Unsolved, it's literally been on everything at this point, and they gotta hook me up with it. I even met like one of their really good friends at Tombstone. But so this is a Poulter script, is what it looks like. And it's basically a device where it feeds off of the electric magnetic fields, kind of like the spirit. It's like the idea of like a spirit box where it's gathering all this energy around you, and it's basically generating words. So the idea is that if a spirit wants to talk to you, it's sending you, like, I say, text messages to you. And I got this off Ghost Hunters Equipment, I think, .com, but it's from the Ghost Hunters team, I believe. And so yeah, this is what I got it from. And you know, it's funny because I was kind of skeptical about this. I'm actually skeptical with a lot of equipment, believe it or not, just as a psychic medium myself. Like, I feel like I get a lot more better results through my intuition than I do with equipment. So I've been kind of going through that journey myself. But now that I've been through so many, like I've been on a haunted World War II ship, Mintryville, even Tombstone, in different spots, I do notice the theme change with this in certain spaces. So that's kind of cool. So anyway, I brought that with me and it said, like on the screen, it said prop, revolver. And I'm like, what? That's so weird.
So that popped up as soon as you walked into the Pico Cottage House.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prop and revolver.
Yeah. And I felt like the sharp pain in the side of my head. Now, I'm not saying that like someone died in the house, but you know, the story of Mentryville goes, a lot of places were not restored and houses were torn down and all this stuff. So, we don't know what's there, you know, like we don't know if maybe a spirit, since they're seeing that there's a lot of people congregating towards the Pico house or the schoolhouse, that they're probably like, hey, notice me, you know, like that could also happen.
I think it is so interesting how electronics are used to communicate with spirits. I mean, people can do it on their phones now. Just everyday people, you could just download an app and just let it listen, and it might produce some words. Now, if you can't afford the Polterscript device, which is $3.99 on ghosthuntersequipment.com, you may be okay with just using your cell phone, especially if you are a beginner investigator. Now, I've had my first experience last night, very recent. I had went to the Heritage Square Museum, which I can take a deeper dive in through another episode, and I kid you not, I had met Spooky Foodie there, and we went on a tour in one of the houses, and she was using an app on her phone to gather communication from any spirit that may be lurking in the house. And the first word that came up on her phone was disrespect. And then the second word was gun. And I'm not sure why these words came up, but I wonder if disrespect came up when someone may have touched something in the house that the spirit was unfavorable of. Now, I've never personally downloaded an app on my phone, and to be honest, I may be a bit too terrified to even try it in my own home, but it does seem to produce some interesting results. And if you heard my Scarecast radio episode featuring Julio Garibay, we talk about the ghost app on the phone. Now, I do want to, you know, have an episode where I kind of look more into these ghost apps and, you know, see what they exactly uncover. Because it's kind of terrifying to realize that maybe even a toddler or, you know, a young kid can just download the app and start messing with it. I mean, I don't even know if these apps have restrictions where, you know, 18 plus, your parents gotta, you know, say yes to it or whatever. I'm not sure how that all goes. But who knows what these apps can uncover, or, you know, does it open a portal, or is it really safe to use? Is it kind of a similar medium to an Ouija board? I'm not really entirely sure, but I do want to look more into that. But just thinking, you know, what comes next with the advancement of technology? Like, I wonder what is next for all of these paranormal devices. What can we uncover that we didn't know about before?
So, yeah. Anyway, as we join Patty Negri, I'm so sorry, Patty. It's because I know somebody with the same similar last name. That's why I keep messing it up. But as we join her, we're in the room. She's using the dowsing rods. We have, the Polterscript. We have another device in there, too. And we basically got two men in that room, and it seemed like a love triangle. Like, this guy, well, first it started off with someone saying to go to the graveyard nearby, and something about the crawl space, which we were like so confused about, like, what do you want us to do? We can't go down there this late at night, obviously. Yeah. But something about the crawl space, and then, like, if you're in the house, you can see the vents and you can see down in the crawl space. It's kind of gnarly. So I do recall that. Now, the second thing is that there was this guy talking about, like, his mistress, and it kind of became like a really hot mess, like, you know, like a soap opera type of storyline. And yeah. That was that. Yeah, and I think, like, at one point, Patty, like, asked, are you on the chair? Because there was, like, a rocking chair. And it pointed towards the chair, which is so cool. It was so dark, though, we didn't get footage of that. But
What exactly pointed to the chair?
The dowsing rods. You've seen the dowsing rods.
How does that work exactly?
When I think of that, and most people don't know this, is that dowsing rods alongside tarot cards, Ouija board, pendulums, these are all divination tools. It's basically seeking answers through the unknown, right? Or that's kind of like one formal meaning to it. But in a way, you're using your intuition, like you're channeling your intuition to seek answers, right? That's one way to look at it. Some people think that you're using these divination tools as talking to spirit without distractions to get answers. So that's also another thing. But I still believe that you still use a little bit of your own higher divine to speak to spirits with the divination tools.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's one way. But anyway, so she was using that. And, like, they used to use the dowsing rods, I believe, to find water, too. It was, like, a way to locate water. People would use that. So that's also really cool as well. No, like, this was, like, a non, like, spiritualist or anything like that. It was just, like, a tool that people would use to find water, which is so wild because, like, looking back on it now and how it's used, I'm like, no, I feel like they did use their intuition. They've had to. I don't know. But so she had that, and it's like, you know, they both point towards the chair, and it was really cool. Again, the Poulter script was really, like, helping navigate what Patty was asking and what she was picking up, and it was really cool. It was a really cool experience, like, seeing that in action. Mm-hmm. So then after that, you know, they were closing down. We went to the barn, and they was closed, so we went back to the house again, and I'm like, well, before they close, now that people are leaving, we're going to go upstairs, and I'm going to do a tarot card spread. So I did a tarot card spread, and I picked up on the woman. So on the Poulter script, prior to going upstairs, we picked up on the name Hannah, and either Anna or Hannah. And when we went upstairs, I did a tarot card, and it talked about this woman feeling like she was forced into this marriage, and she was really young, and she felt like she was trying to find a foundation, but it's almost like she felt stuck there. And that was interesting. But prior to the tarot card, I felt the angerness of this man up there, and the Poulter script called me a wench. Like, in the Poulter script, the word wench came up. Like, I was being called a wench. Yeah, like wench. Like, you are a wench. Like, W-E-N-C-H.
I've never heard of that word. What does that mean?
Wench. It's just like a way to... I mean, it's kind of like a derogatory... Well, not derogatory, but it's wench. Like... I would say, depending on, like, the era, like, it's pretty bad, you know? Like,
so as a prostitute, like, kind of like a hoe, or...
Yeah, okay. I was saying, like, derogatory. Like, depending how you... What era you were asking, it's not nice. but, yeah, he called me that. And but you also got to think about this, right? Like, if you're channeling spirits from different time periods, how we dress, too, is, especially women, how we dress in particular is probably not very ladylike, right? So that's probably what it was. Also, you know, nowadays with women having a lot more lead and a little bit more room to be, like, more an authority figure, it's just also probably frowned upon because, like, I was directing my husband on what to do with things, and the freaking Poulter script was like, wench, like, not nice to me at all. And then it said silence, like, say shut up. So it did change, from going downstairs to, like, prop revolver to, like, wench silence. Like, to me, I was like, wow, okay, there's an angry spirit up here. And he did not like me at all. I felt like I was going to get pushed down the stairs. The stairs are kind of creepy, too, though.
No, I was going to say, like, when you deal with an angry spirit like that, is there a different way you approach the investigation?
The way I do it, and I always use protection before I go into any space. Like, me and my husband, we always do, like, a meditation. We always say thank you, and we do, like, this thing with our hands, like, we're washing away that connection between us and the spirit, and we're sending them back to where they need to be. But when a spirit gets mad at you, you just gotta, like, for me personally, I just kind of like envision like a wall between me and the spirit. Like, here's my bubble with light and protection from my ancestors and my guides, and then that's you. And then I start to channel the spirit that's being nicer and trying to talk to me. So that way, like, once we build that relationship, that whoever is there trying to get attention, it just goes away. It's like opening a door, if that makes sense. And that's what I was doing. I was trying to talk to this poor girl. But that's kind of like how I navigate through it. I also, of course, do things with my devices too. Like, I salt with tarot, casqueria, eggshell with my equipment. So little things like that that I do as well. Just got to do those things. I also carry around my ancestral, like, cemetery dirt. But of course, like, it's like with like permission and everything too. It's not like don't go out there and do it. Like, you can get arrested or stuff like that. Don't do that.
So it's like the dirt from where, like, your ancestries are, like, where they're buried.
In particular, is my grandfather.
Like a protection?
Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. What made you do your grandfather?
Because that's like the closest, like, somebody who is my ancestor, someone I could have gotten permission from, and all of that, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's for me what I do, but I always tell people, like, don't go out and do that. It's kind of illegal. Like, you have to get permission. So don't. For us, for all entertainment purposes, you guys, we're not telling you to do this. Okay. But yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah. So that's one way. I read this book called The Witch's Guide to Ghost Hunting, and there's so many good tips in there as well that I resonate with. So there's that. If you do feel like you're being attacked, though, my other recommendation is music. Music is my go-to when I feel so uncomfortable, when I feel so sick. Like, I was listening to, like, K-pop when I went to one of the most, like, a really haunted house, and I felt so uncomfortable. In between places, like, moments, I would have my headphones in, like, K-pop.
You would listen to the music. You won't play it out loud. Mm-mm. You can have it in your headphones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that makes, like, a big difference, like, when you start doing that? Like, you feel like, is it just a comfort thing, just to make you feel more comfortable? Or do you think, like, the spirits, they just don't fuck with that music, and it kind of shoos them away a little bit?
I think there's a little bit of different things going on. Like, actually, traditionally speaking, I was interviewed by these two Navajo paranormal investigators, and one of them is so in touch with, like, old teachings. Yeah. And he was really impressed that I did that method, because that was one way to combat things, right? And for me, like, the way I see it and what I was told is, when you raise your vibrations, because they feed off fear. So if you're listening to fun music and you're getting in your groove and you feel empowered, because music can shift your emotions and your moods. So if you're shifting that and you're not getting scared and you're just having a good time, lower entities are not going to mess with you, you know, because your vibrations are higher. Also, your mindset is higher, you know? So that's one way to look at it. Because if you're in a space and you're scared, lower entities or demons are feeding off that. And you know what I mean? It just, you kind of fall into that trap, you know? So there's a couple different things with that. But anyway, so there's that. But yeah, it was just really interesting how, like, that spirit didn't like me, and I was talking to Hannah and I got all this information. And I mean, I try to look it up. It's really hard to find information because, again, there's so many things that have been lost with Mintryville. Like, we do know what's been standing there, but we don't know everything there. So that's really, like, just one thing too.
Kimberly Demery. So I was, like, reading, like, an article online, and she was a part of the Paranormal Housewives, and she said something about, like, as soon as she went into the Pico Cottage house, it was like she just sensed that she was entering a man's space. And it says he seemed to be trying to tell her that she as a female wasn't welcome there.
Oh my God.
So she said she heard movement, felt a push down on her head as she was climbing up the stairs to the second story of the barn. So it's like she was experiencing some stuff. I was going to do an interview with her. So I think it's crazy how you mentioned.
It's very
Yeah.
Sorry.
There's just a malevolent male spirit that just doesn't fuck with women.
Yeah.
So
that's
like,
so interesting. I'm glad that you brought that up, because I was like, I hope I'm not like, it sounds like I'm making all this woohoo thing, because it's like I experienced it, and when you get confirmation, it just feels so, like a relief, like, oh my God, I'm not the only one. Yeah, like in this, because I think like now that me and my husband have been going to a couple of different locations, that's another thing too. Like if I know a spirit just absolutely hates me and does not want me talking, my husband and I will switch, because he's like a white male, they're going to be more receptive to him, you know? So
and that's happened in the past where it was like a total switch up of like response when he took over.
Oh yeah. I mean, this last place we went to in Tombstone, Arizona. So it's actually the video with he's wearing like the blindfold. It's like, okay. If I would have done that, no way. Like we felt the switch up. So it's like even like the Navajo brothers, I'll send you their info because they're so cool. They're like the coolest people. They told me that when they went to Tombstone, because, you know, the history there, they don't like indigenous people. So they had to like channel ancestral spirits to talk to them, like using their language. So yeah, it does happen. Yeah. Because like spirits are like us without the meat suit, like a lot of the times they are, and I think people think that they're like, oh no, like they're gonna possess me, like, well, that's probably something different at that point, and possession is really rare, because most of the time, like, what is so interesting about your life that they want to possess you, you know? So like, but I mean, that's another thing too, because I think we talked about this, where it's like there is that, and then there's also offerings that people do for possessions without knowing it too, and I thought that can get a whole, you know, whole mess with that. But
you said offerings, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, so there's somebody I follow, and she explained it so well, and I'll send you her thing too. She's so cool. She's here in Burbank, and she does like witchcraft, and she does like classes for it. And she's talked about like the misconceptions of possessions and all this stuff. And like, she was going on this whole thing of like, when, and there's actually two people I follow, and they did a really good job at explaining them. And one of them talked about how, like, it does happen, but not in a way that we think. Like, not the way Hollywood puts it out there. You know, like, the original Exorcist is just puking out and floating in the air. Like, it doesn't happen like that. But it, not to say that it can't happen. I mean, it can, right? I just think it's less common than people think it is. Not to say that it can't happen, you know? But one of them was explaining that, like, if you are somebody that is diving into things like a lot of drugs and orgies and things that most people wouldn't do, then probably, and you're calling onto something, or you're feeding off a certain feeling that most people wouldn't experience doing certain things like that, then yeah, they'll be attracted to that, you know? But it just depends. Yeah, I'll have to send you a thing. And it's really fascinating, though. Not to say that it can't happen, because I know it can.
Well, that will be it for this episode. Huge shout out to Stephanie Strange. Make sure you all go follow her on Instagram and TikTok at Stephanie_Strange. There will be a part two coming in the near future that will cover the rest of our interview. If you have any scary stories you want to share over an interview, please don't hesitate to reach out to me through email at michael@thescarecast.com. Or on Instagram at The Scarecast. I have a lot more content coming for you guys, and I hope you all enjoyed this episode. As always, please take care, and until next time.